This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين مولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وبعد. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Okay, inshallah, carrying on with the Battle of Buzakha. So we spoke about Tulayha, the false prophet. We spoke about his right-hand man, Uyayna. Now let's move on to the battle. So now the armies gather in a place called Buzakha. So you have the army of Tulayha, and then you have the army of Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu. When Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu left Medina, his army was 4,000 strong. How large was the army of Tulayha? Not recorded. However, it was larger than the army of Khalid bin Walid. That's for a fact. But how large it actually was, we do not know. Now, the armies line up. They're ready to fight. And something very strange happens. The Bani Tai, who was the tribe of Adi ibn Hatim radiallahu anhu, they come up to Khalid bin Walid and they say, listen, we don't mind fighting. Remember, they had apostated, joined the army of Tulayha, them and Jadila, and now they had 1500 men from them had joined the Muslim army. So they come up to Khalid bin Walid, they say, look, we don't mind fighting on the Muslim side, but there's one issue. We don't want to fight the Bani Asad. Bani Asad was the tribe of Tulayha. Why? Because they had allegiances before Islam. So they were halifs of each other before Islam, and therefore they didn't want to fight them. So generally what you would expect from Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu is a very staunch, harsh, response. But Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu agrees. Why? And it's hikmah, wisdom here. Because it's a delicate moment. You got the army on the other side. You don't want to break your ranks. The army on the other side is larger than your army. So Khalid bin Walid left with 4,000, with this additional 1,500, he had maybe 5,500, but still the army on the other side was larger. So Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu allows him. So generally how the tribe would, or the army would work, is that each tribe would have its own section, and they would fight with that tribe. So they would, for the tribe would be close with each other. The reason for this was that one would inspire the other. If you saw your uncle being attacked, your brother being attacked, your tribe member being attacked, there's more chance of you fighting with greater vigor and standing and not running away. If the person who's being attacked is somebody that you don't really know, it's a possibility that you will run away. So how they placed them was that they would fight the enemy, the Bani Jandila and the Bani Tay, but they wouldn't fight the Bani Asad. So they kept them away from the Bani Asad. Now, and so from this you really understand that tribal affinity was deeply rooted amongst these people. Although they had just become Muslim, so they became Muslim, then they became Murtad, then they became Muslim again. But the reason that many of them would do that is because they would go with their tribe. Whatever the elders in their tribe did, they would follow. And many of these people had never met the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Many of these people had never seen the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Their leaders went, or some tribe members went. They went to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They embraced Islam, especially on the ninth year, which is known as Aam al-Wufud, the year of the delegations. Many people embraced Islam. They came back. The leaders embraced. Everybody followed. But Islam was not necessarily rooted deeply in their hearts. Okay? And this is why Uyayna bin Hisn said his famous statement. He said, Nabiyun min halifina ahabbu ilayna min nabiyin min Quraysh. And then he said, وَقَدْ مَاتَ مُحَمَّدْ وَطُلَيَّ حَيٌّ. He said, a Nabi from one of our Khalifs is more beloved to us than a Nabi from Quraysh. And he said, anyway, Muhammad has passed away, and Tulayha is at least alive, so we rather just believe in Tulayha. So this was the mentality that they had. So now, Tulayha is at the back, he's sitting in the tent, and the battle is about to start. And the Muslims start shouting, bring Tulayha out. See, you know the word Tulayha? Tulayha is the tasghir for Talha, okay? So the word Tulayha, a tasghir, can be used for affection. So you say Umar, you call him Umair. Asad, you call him Usaid, the small lion, the small Umar. But it also can be derogatory. You can also say to, oh, Tulayha, you little one. So the Muslims are shouting, Tulayha, come out. Tulayha, you little one, come out. But Tulayha isn't coming out. He's in his tent behind the army with 40 soldiers around him, just in case things go pear-shaped. Just in case, you know, they are beaten and they need to run away, so he has 40 men around him. And Tulayha would often do this thing where he would say that revelation only comes and descends upon me when I am wrapped up in a cloth. So he would put a cloth over his head, and then he would, and then revelation would descend upon him. So there's a famous story that one day he's doing this at home, and his wife sees somebody with a cloth over their head. So she takes a stick and she hits the person over the head, because she thought it was one of the servants not doing their work, hiding away from their work. So she strikes him on the head. He removes the cloth and she realizes it's her husband. And he says, wretched woman, the angel was just about to descend and reveal his revelation upon me, and then you came in between. So this was famous regarding Tulayha. So now, the battle now starts, okay? So the Muslims attack. The mushrikeen, they hold their ground very well, and they repel the Muslims. They repel the Muslims so harsh that the Muslims are forced back. Some of those who had newly embraced Islam came to Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu, and they said, oh Khalid, let's take refuge in the mountains. You know, things are severe. Let's run. Basically, let's run. Let's go to the mountain. Khalid radiallahu anhu, being Khalid, said, I will only take refuge in Allah. And then Khalid descended from his mount. So he descended from his mount and he began to walk towards the enemy. And he said, oh Ansar of Allah. He shouted, oh Ansar of Allah, respond to the call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Khalid now walks. Why did he descend from his mount? To inspire everybody. You remember the story of Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu in the battle of Uhud, how he inspired the mushrikeen. Today Khalid is a Muslim, and now he's inspiring the believers on the other side. But subhanAllah, today he also has the barakah of Iman. So you can imagine how inspirational Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu is. So Khalid, now the Muslim army attack. The mushrikeen are pushed back. So Uyayna now runs to the tent of Tulayha. And he says to Tulayha, 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 things are difficult. Situations dire. Any revelation? He said, carry on fighting. He's got his head in the cloth. He goes, carry on fighting. I'm waiting for revelation. He goes back. The Muslims push again. The mushrikeen get pushed. He goes again to the tent of Tulayha. And he said, oh Tulayha, revelation, anything, Jibra'il? Or there was some narration mentioned that the angel that would come to him was an angel called Dhu-Noon. Dhu-Noon. He said, as the angel come, he said, Sabar. Go carry on fighting. So they go back, he goes back, and they start fighting again. And then the Muslims push again, they attack, and they shatter the enemy lines. And he comes back to him, and he says, oh Tulayha, any revelation? Now Tulayha has seen the situation, And he's realized that the situation is very dire, and it's only a matter of time that the Muslims will reach him. So he runs out of his tent, he jumps on his horse, he puts his wife behind him, and he said, "Yes, revelation just descended upon me." And the angel said, "Inna laka rahan karahahu wa hadithan la tansahu. Inna laka rahan karahahu. Indeed, you have a handmill like his handmill. Hadithan la tansahu. And this is an occasion that you will never forget." And he rides off. Subhanallah. How can you forget that occasion when you meet the sword of Allah? When you meet the sword of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he rides off. Now, the really interesting thing is that Uyayna now runs to his people, the Bani Fazara, were his tribe, and he shouts out, he said, "Leave the battlefield, for Tulayha is a false prophet." But by now, many of the Bani Fazara had died, many from the other Bani Asad had died, many of the other tribe members had died. And Tulayha had, you know, rode off. So now Uyayna tries to run off as well, and Uyayna is captured. So Uyayna is captured. So now, why? Why were the Muslims victorious? And Tulayha asked this question. Years later, Tulayha asked this question. He said, "Why we had more numbers than they had? Why were they victorious and why were we not victorious?" One response to this was that the Muslims fought for the sake of Allah and they fought for their tribes. They were inspired by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Their niyyah was for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and theirs was for just their tribes and their qawms, etc. But the response that Tulayha got when he asked the question was, they said, "By Allah, every single one of the Muslims fought like he was competing with his brother to attain martyrdom before his brother attained martyrdom." So because of the zeal that the Muslims had, this was why the Muslims won the battle. And this is why in life and everything that we do, we try to do it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The reason for this is that no matter what the outcome is, when you've given it to Allah and you've done your best, you will never be upset with the outcome and the result, because you know the results are in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have to make the effort, the rest is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anything you do in life, if you do it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will never be upset. So what happens to Tulayha now? Tulayha's run off. Tulayha later on, he embraces Islam. Ajib. So this man, he's a false Nabi. He embraces Islam and he comes to Makkah. Actually, he comes to Medina. So Tulayha comes to Medina and they tell Abu Bakr that Tulayha is in Medina. So on his way to Hajj or Umrah, he stops off in Medina. And they say to Abu Bakr, "Tulayha has come." So Abu Bakr said, "What do you want me to do? He's embraced Islam now, he's a Muslim. What do you want me to do?" But Umar being Umar, Umar met him. And Umar said, "You, Tulayha, I will never forgive you and I will never love you. For you killed two eminent Sahaba, Uqash ibn Mihsan and Thabit ibn Akram. You killed two eminent Sahaba, I will never forgive you." So Tulayha said, "Look, I killed them in the time of Jahiliyyah, and they are in Jannah today because they are both martyrs, and I am a Muslim today, so it's a win-win situation. That they entered Jannah because they were martyred, and I am a believer today." Look at this, subhanAllah. You know, In the time of Umar ibn al-Khattab, Tulayha participated in many of the battles. To the degree that in the battle in the conquest of Iraq with the Persians, who were the superpower of the day, Tulayha was a mighty warrior. They would say that this man never lost a duel. He was equivalent to 1,000 men. This man who was a false prophet, this man who wanted to destroy the Muslims on every single occasion, fought so well in the conquest of Iraq that Umar radiallahu anhu said, I will never love you and never forgive you, actually sent a prize for him. He sent a prize for him. Not only that, when Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas asked for he said, send me 2,000 men. He sent him two men. He sent him Tulayha and Amr ibn Madiki Rab. He sent him these two men. Amr's name will come up later on. He sent him two men and he said, I am sending you two men who are equal to 2,000 men. Look at subhanAllah. You know how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides a person from being a person who claimed prophethood, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not only made him, you know, history remembers his bravery, also he was martyred in the Battle of Nahwand, fighting the Persians. Radiallahu anhu. From where to where? Umar ibn Khattab actually advised Numan ibn Muqarrin radiallahu anhu. He said, in the battlefield, make sure that you consult Tulayha and Amr. Make sure that you always consult these two individuals. In the battlefield, they were just amazing individuals. After this, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu wrote a letter to Khalid ibn Walid, congratulated him on the Battle of Buzaqa, but then he said, listen, do not leave Buzaqa until you take revenge from all those who killed Muslims. Because what happened is that many of the tribes, when they apostated, those Muslims who remained upon the deen, they killed them. So they're there, Khalid ibn Walid in Buzaqa. So these people are coming and they're embracing Islam, and more people are embracing Islam. But only time Khalid radiallahu anhu would accept them when they would hand over those who had killed other Muslims. And when they would hand over, Abu Bakr was so harsh on this issue, radiallahu anhu. He would not forgive them. If they killed a Muslim, they would be killed. Generally, Abu Bakr was soft, but on the issue of the Murtadeen, Abu Bakr was very, very harsh. So every single person who killed a Muslim was killed in retaliation. Abu Bakr was so harsh on this issue that never did he allow any of the Murtadeen to ever participate in the battle, any battle thereafter. So if you became Murtad, so Tulayha in the life of Abu Bakr was not allowed to participate in any battle. In the time of Umar, Umar opened it up to a degree. In the time of Uthman radiallahu anhu, he opened it up totally. Anybody who became Murtad could fight on the Muslim side. But that had its fatal consequences. And inshallah, when we study the life of Uthman radiallahu anhu, you will see the fatal consequences of that. You know, these people, the Bani Asad and all those who had apostated, they came to Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. So after they've embraced Islam, they come back to Abu Bakr and they said, Abu Bakr, we saw the consequences of fighting you. We saw the consequences that fighting you was not a good idea. And then Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, it doesn't finish there. You will follow the tails of the camels, meaning you will be nomads now. Abu Bakr dispelled them. He expelled them from their place where they lived. They weren't allowed to live in their places. He said, until I see a change in you and a serious change in you, you will follow the tails of the camels, meaning you will be nomads. When I see a change in you, then I will give you residence. So this was the battle of Buzaqa with Tulayha. Now what happens? They're defeated. Remnants of his army join another prophet. So there's another prophet. But this prophet is interesting. Why? Because it's a she. Salma, also known as, better known, Kunni as Ummu Zamal. Ummu Zamal, so she's a prophet. So they joined with, and she was the cousin of Uyayna. Uyayna, you know, it looks like this is a family affair. So she's his cousin. And when they came to her, her army swelled up Shortly, it became an army which was actually larger than Tulayha's army. So she would say, listen, Tulayha has been defeated. This is a proof that he's a false prophet. He was never a true prophet. She said, look at Muhammad, true prophet. He was never defeated. So every single one of these prophets who regarded himself as prophet, none of them ever said that the Prophet ﷺ was not a prophet, but they said, we are also prophets. So her revelation includes this. She says, we have called Muhammad to us and given Salma prophethood. Whoever follows her Sharia will be successful. O people, obey our prophet, for verily the control of the heavens and the earth are in our hands, and we make its owner whoever we wish. So now Khalid, when he finishes at Buzakha, he goes to meet her. Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu reaches there. What does she do? She gives Khalid dawah. Not Khalid gives her dawah, she gives Khalid dawah. She says, Khalid, come to the true religion. Khalid bin Khalid replies like he normally replies. He said, listen, Islam or the sword, sort yourself out. So she gets very angry and she prepares her army. So what happened is that the battle starts, it's equal for a little while, and then the Muslims begin to push the Murtadeen back. But Khalid, being a tactician, knows that if he wants to finish this battle off quickly, the best way is to go for Salma. But Salma has her men around her, and she's sitting on a camel in the distance. So Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu takes a handful of men and they charge at the camel of Salma. They manage to knock Salma off her camel, and the people around are fighting, you know, with fierce. They are fighting ferociously because this is her, this is their Nabiya. They eventually manage to knock her off her camel. The men pounce upon her and they kill her. When they kill her, the rest of the men see and they leave the battlefield. So this is Umm Zamal Salma. So that was where she finished. Now, there's another prophet. Her name is Shajah. And she was a woman who was known for her beauty. She was very articulate, had amazing command of the Arabic language. Often when she would speak in poetry. So now what she does is that she comes from the Najd area. And she belongs to the tribe of Bani Tamim. What she does is that she leaves with an army of 4,000 men to attack Medina. While she's going to Medina, she hears that Khalid bin Walid is coming this way as well. Now she knows about Khalid's reputation. She doesn't really want to face Khalid, so she says, she stops. And then she says, God has sent me revelation that I must go and fight Musaylimah al-Kadhab. So Musaylimah ibn al-Habib, he was a false prophet. So now she goes towards Musaylimah. Okay. So who is Musaylimah? Now if you remember a few durus back where we spoke about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he had a dream that he was wearing two bangles of gold and he blew them. One went to Yemen and the other one went to Najd. The one went to Yemen indicated to Aswad al-Ansi and the other one was Musaylimah al-Kadhab. Okay, so he belonged to a tribe called the Bani Hanifa, a large tribe, lived in a place called Najd in the north of which is currently Saudi Arabia. So Musaylimah now embraced Islam on the 9th year of Hijrah. So this is when he embraced. But when he embraced, The narration mentioned that one day he was sitting outside the house in the masjid outside the house of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said he had his back towards the house of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Messenger of Allah came out, and he didn't realize that Messenger of Allah was going past, and he said, "You know, I will believe in the religion of Muhammad if he gives me half of his land, half of what he owns, he gives me." So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam heard this, and he picked up a little straw, and he said, "Oh, Musaylama, even if you ask me for the half of this, I wouldn't grant it to you." Because it doesn't belong to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now, Musaylama goes back. His tribe, the Bani Hanifa, have all embraced Islam. And then Musaylama goes back. And after a while, in the 10th year, which is the year the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away, he claims prophethood before the demise of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So shortly before the demise of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he writes a letter to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he says, "Min Musaylama Rasulillah ila Muhammad Rasulillah." From Musaylama, the Messenger of Allah, to Muhammad, the Messenger of Allah. So now he's calling himself, me Messenger of Allah, you a Messenger of Allah, both of us. He said, "Ala inni utitu al-amr ma'aka falaka nisful ard wali nisfuha." He said, "I have been made a partner in this issue with you. فَلَكَ نِصْفُ الْأَرْضِ وَلِي نِصْفُهَا. For you is half the earth, and for me is half the earth. وَلَكِنَّ قُرَيْشِ قَوْمٌ يَظْلِمُونَ. But Quraysh are a qawm, are a nation, tribe, who oppress." Okay? So he says, Quraysh are an unfair group of people. So he's telling him, "I am a prophet. You are a prophet." And you know, this is a business to him. This is a business. You know, you take half, I take half. Okay, so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, now he writes in the letter, "Min Muhammad Rasulillah ila Musaylimah al-Kadhab." From the Messenger of Allah, from Muhammad the Messenger of Allah, to Musaylimah the liar. And then he says, "As-salamu ala man ittaba al-huda." Peace be upon him who follows guidance. And then the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam gives, just writes one verse. That's it. "Amma ba'd. Inna al-arda lillah yurithuha min yasha'u min ibadihi wal-aqibatu lil-muttaqin." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a real, just writes just one verse, that indeed the earth belongs to Allah. Don't ask me for the earth. Earth belongs to Allah. And Allah gives it to whoever He wishes. He gives an inheritance to whoever He wishes from his slaves, وَالْآقِبَةُ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ, and the outcome, the good outcome, is for those who have taqwa. That's it. So the Messenger of Allah sends this letter with a Sahabi radiallahu anhu called Habib bin Zayd. Young Sahabi. So he goes to Musaylimah al-Kadhab, he gives him the letter, Musaylimah reads it, and he reads what's in it, and he gets really angry, infuriated. So he says to Habib, he said, "Tell me, do you regard Muhammad as a prophet?" He said, "Yes." He said, "Do you regard me as a prophet?" Habib says, "My ears, I can't hear too well." Meaning, you know, what you are saying is not even worth me listening to. So then he says to him again, he said, "Let me ask you again. Do you believe that Muhammad is a message of Allah?" He said, "Yes, I believe Muhammad is a message of Allah." He said, "What about me?" He says, "I can't hear too well. My ears are not working too good." So what he does is that he gets him to tie Habib, and they begin to pierce him. So they think a couple of pierces here and there, he'll give up. Then he says to him, "Do you believe that Muhammad is a messenger of Allah?" He said, "Yes." He said, "Do you believe I am the messenger of Allah?" Now already they've hit him with a lance a number of times. He says, "No." He says, "I can't hear too well. I can't hear too well." Then what he does is that he gets one of them They already tied him up, and then they cut his tongue. And then he says to him, imagine this, tongue is cut off. And then he says to him, he said, is Muhammad the messenger of Allah? He nods. He said, am I a messenger of Allah? He shakes his head. And then they cut him slowly, limb by limb, radiallahu anhu. You know, on the day of judgment, he will stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, although it was permitted for him to say words of kufr and duress. Man ukriha wa qalbuhu mutma'innun bil iman. If you're under duress, but your heart is content with iman. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told Ammar ibn Yasir, you know, he said, O Messenger of Allah, they persecuted me, they tortured me until I uttered words that they wanted me to utter. The Messenger of Allah said, what was your heart like at that state? He said, mutma'innun bil iman. Firm with iman, content with iman. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he said, Ammar, if it happens again, if they torture you again and you have to say those words, say them again. He could have said these words. But imagine on the day of judgment, you'll stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and every part of you will give testimony that you were cut into pieces for Allah's sake. La ilaha illallah. So this was the story of Musaylimah briefly. Inshallah, next lesson we will come back to it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevate the sacrifice of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment make us amongst the rows of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Anbiya, the Sahaba radhiallahu ajma'in, the Salaf al-Salihin. Barakallahu feekum, Jazakumullah khairan. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. Jazakumullah khairan for watching. And please do not forget to watch the next episode. And inshallah, with your du'as, there will be plenty more history series coming very soon. Barakallahu feekum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.